Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with David's plan for the temple as we pick up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
So, David assembled all of the princes of Israel. Now the whole thing is organized. We got it all organized and it's all set. So David is now getting ready to pass on. He realizes that he has done just about all he can do as far as the house of the Lord is concerned. And so David assembled all of the princes of Israel, of the various tribes, the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course. All of these 24 fellows who had their, or the 12 fellows that had their men that would come in, the captains over the thousands and over the hundreds, the stewards of all of his substance, all of these chief fellows, the possessions of the king, all of the sons with the officers, with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men to Jerusalem. A big conclave of the chief people of the nation. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brothers and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. And I had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and you have shed blood. Howbeit, Jehovah God of Israel chose me before all of the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. He has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah and the house of my father and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all of Israel.'" David recognized that God's hand was upon his life, that God had chosen him. He had chosen the tribe of Judah way back when Jacob prophesied over his sons. Jacob prophesied that the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. And so the scepter, the reigning power, came to the tribe of Judah. David said, "The Lord liked me over my brothers." Now that's just God's sovereign choice. And David realizes, I was chosen by God to be king. And God had announced that there would be one from David's seed who would sit upon the throne forever. Of course, the promise was of the Messiah that would come. And we still wait for the fulfillment of that promise, the coming of Jesus Christ to reign forever. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. But that recognition, God chose me, fellas, for his own reasons, for his own purposes, God chose me. The wonderful thing is that God has chosen each of you. Now, so often in evangelistic services, we hear the evangelist say, "Now choose to serve the Lord. Make your choice to follow Jesus." But in reality, the Lord has chosen you. Jesus said to his 12 disciples, "You didn't really choose me. I chose you and ordained that you should be my disciples, that you should bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain." And that can be said of each of you who are following Jesus Christ. You are following him because he chose you, because he liked you. He chose me because he liked me. Not because I was deserving or worthy or had any special kind of merits, or he, you know, could see down the line and see that I would do this and that and the other. No, just he said, "Hey, I like him. He chose me." That's the sovereignty of God. It's something that we can't understand. We can't understand the mind of God. We can't understand the purposes of God or the ways of God. God said, "My ways are beyond your finding out." Because if God chose me, then does that mean I had no choice in the matter? Well, No, it doesn't, because you had to choose. So many times in the Bible, they were exhorted, choose this day whom you will serve. You say, but how can you put the two together? You can't. God's ways, beyond my finding out. You see, on the gate to the kingdom of God, there was the inscription on the outside, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And you said, oh man, I'm thirsty. I'm tired of this life of misery and emptiness and sin. And oh, that looks so good. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. All right, Lord. I'm weary of life as it is. I come. And you come to Jesus Christ and you enter the gate into the glory. And you look back up. And on the inside of the gate, it said, you did not choose me, I chose you and ordained that you should be my disciple. And so the Bible speaks of us chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world, that we should be heirs of this glorious grace. You say, well, that isn't fair. I don't know if I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate it tremendously. And I'm not challenging the Lord at all. If he chose me, hey, all right, I accept that. And I'm not going to argue with him on that score at all. That'd be crazy to argue with God on the fact that he chose me. I just rejoice in the fact that he chose me. He said, yeah, but it isn't fair if he didn't choose me. You're challenging the fairness of God? Do you think you have a right to choose the one that you want to spend the rest of your life with? How would you like it if someone said, her, man? Hey, wait a minute. I want a choice here. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this woman. Yes, I appreciate the choice. And I was able to make the choice. And thank God I made the right choice. Well, if I have the right to choose who I'm going to spend my life with, shouldn't God have the right to choose who he's going to spend eternity with? I would think so. I would grant him that right. You say, yeah, but maybe he didn't choose me, and that wouldn't be fair if he didn't choose me. Well, how do you know he didn't choose you? Well, I'm not a Christian. Well, why aren't you a Christian? Well, I don't know if I believe in that stuff or not. Well, you can find out very quickly whether or not you were chosen. Just ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive you your sins and make you his child, and you'll find out he chose you. The very fact that you're able to do that means that you were chosen of him. You say, but maybe I don't want to do that. Then maybe you weren't chosen. But you really can't blame him, can you? Because he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, if you don't want to come, that's your problem, not his. Because if you do come, chosen or not, he won't turn you away, because he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So you see, from a technical sense, no one can blame God and say, well, God didn't choose me. That's not fair. Because God gave you the same opportunity as everybody else. He said, look, if you'll come, I'll not cast you out. And the moment you come and receive Jesus Christ, you discover the glorious thing that God, from the beginning, had chosen you to be the heir of this glorious grace in Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't understand it. That's all right. Join the crowd. I don't either, but I don't argue with it. I just enjoy it. He chose me. So David recognizes, hey, the Lord liked me, and he chose me. Now, there are things of David that are likable, and there are some things about David that aren't so likable. And so it is, I'm sure, with each of us. Certain things that are likable in each of us and certain things that aren't so likable. But the thing is, God loves us all. David said he chose me above my brothers. He liked me to be the king over Israel. And he hath chosen Solomon my son, verse 5, to sit on the throne of the kingdom of Jehovah over Israel. So David recognizes now this truth of God is the one who made the choices. We are here because of God's divine choice. And he recognizes that behind the scene, I may act, but God is the one who is directing. God is the one who chose me. And so he hath chosen Solomon. And he said to me, Solomon, thy son, shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. So David was chosen, Solomon was chosen. Moreover, the Lord said, I will establish his kingdom forever if, notice, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. If he'll just continue in my path, Solomon's can reign his kingdom and he can be a part of the whole thing. Solomon, unfortunately, did not continue in the ways of the Lord, as we'll find out in our lessons as we progress. And so it was a conditional promise, his kingdom to be established if he was constant to do the commandments. Now, therefore, in the sight of all of Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, David said, keep and seek for all of the commandments of the Lord your God, that you might possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Keep the ways of God. Walk in the paths of God. And really, he gives the interesting reason that you might be able to leave this land to your children. Now, there are some people who are extremely selfish, and they care not for the future at all. They would destroy totally our environment. They would destroy the landscape. They would use up all the trees for paper for us, and the next generation be hanged. That's their worry. That's their problem. I think that it's almost criminal for our government to continue spending programs increasing yearly the national debt. Because in reality, what we are doing is laying on our children and our grandchildren the price of our extravagances. Because we want to live in a certain type of a lifestyle. We want to maintain a certain standard of living that in reality we can't afford. That's why we're going into debt. That's why the government is going into debt. The programs that the government cannot afford, but we are requiring them so that we can live in a better standard of living. But someday they're going to have to pay. But we should be concerned about leaving an inheritance for our children, the land as an inheritance, leaving it intact, and we would do so if we would keep the commandments of God and walk after the Lord. I wonder oftentimes just what are we leaving for our children and what are we leaving for our grandchildren? As I look at the conditions of the world and I see the deteriorating moral values and standards, as I see these people made heroes, gods and goddesses, who live such totally immoral life and yet they're held up as, you know, the life. And I just wonder, what are we leaving for our children? What hope are we leaving for our children? What future are we leaving for them? And it should be a concern. And David says, look, you should keep the commandments of God so that you can leave for an inheritance something for your kids, this land for them. And turning to Solomon, he said, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a complete heart. The perfect heart is a complete heart and a willing mind. good advice. Know God. Serve God with a complete heart and with a willing mind. Let your service to God be total, a total commitment, a complete commitment to God, a willing mind serving the Lord. Great advice for any son. For the Lord searches the hearts, and he understands the thoughts and the imaginations of the thoughts. Heavy duty. The Bible said everything is naked and revealed before him with whom we have to do. You don't hide anything from God. He knows what's in your imagination. He knows what's in your heart. God searches the hearts, the imaginations. David said, God knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows them in their origins. When Ezekiel was sort of questioning the judgment of God upon the people, the Lord gave Ezekiel a vision. He saw a wall. God said, dig a hole in the wall. And he dug a hole through the wall. He says, now crawl through it. And he crawled through the hole. And he came into this room and he looked around and there was all kinds of filthy pornography all over the wall. All kinds of vile, horrible, degrading things. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, I've allowed you to penetrate within the minds of the leaders of the people. This is what they are thinking. This is the corruption that is there. This is what's in their minds, their imaginations. God knows what's in your mind, in your heart, in your imagination. That's why David said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be some way of wickedness in me, and lead me in your path. God knows my imaginations, God knows my thoughts, God knows my heart. That's why I need the grace of God. And that's why I'm so thankful that God chose me. Serve the Lord. And he said, if you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him. No one has ever yet sought for the Lord and not found him. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. David is saying that to Solomon. Seek the Lord, you'll find him, son. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you and cast you off forever. Then David gave to Solomon the pattern for the temple. The pattern of the porch and the houses around about it. The patterns for the treasuries, the upper chambers, the inner parlors, and the place of the mercy seat. David had drawn it all out. The specs, the design, the engineering. The pattern for all that he had by the Spirit, the Lord by the Spirit, gave this all to David. Even as the Lord directed Moses in the building of the tabernacle, so the Lord directed David by his Spirit in the design of the temple, the courts of the house of the Lord, the chambers about those courts, the treasuries for the dedicated things, and for the courses of the priests, the Levites, for the work and the service of the house. All of this earlier thing that David, the organization, God gave it all to David. And he then even told him how much gold to use in each candlestick, how much gold to use in each basin. And David had the gold all weighed out. Now, this gold here is for the basins. This gold is for the candlesticks and all. And that's pretty good, having never made a candlestick before, to know just how much gold it would take, you know, to make it. But it was all by the Spirit of God that David was directed in setting out for the temple. All of this, said David, verse 19, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all of the works of this pattern. This all has come to me from God, the work of God's Spirit. And so David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for Jehovah God, even my God, will be with thee. That's always the key of strength and help and courage. God's with me. That always dispels the fear. God is with me. The Lord is with me. I will not fear. what my enemies might do. He will not fail you or forsake you until you have finished all of the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all of the service of the house of God. And the workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service, and the princes of the people will be wholly at thy commandment. You're in charge, son. Take over, and all of these people will be there.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we look at the generous giving of David. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May we now be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. You've got to put it into practice for it to have any value in your life. Let the Spirit of God now minister to you its truth as He brings to your remembrance those things that we have studied, and He enriches you in your walk and in your faith and in your life in Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, give you a good week. In Jesus' name.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.